Bihari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Yashodhanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashodhanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamunatira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're going to try a new invocation prayer specifically for today. This is a prayer to Sri Giriraj. So please repeat after me, line by line. Namaste Girirajaya. Namaste Girirajaya. Sri Govardhana Namine. Sri Govardhana Namine. Ashesha Klesha Nashaya. Ashesha Klesha Nashaya. Paramananda Dahine. Paramananda Dahine. This means I offer my respectful obeisances unto the King of Mountains, whose name is Sri Giriraj Maharaj Ki. He destroys unlimited miseries and bestows the highest bliss. Hare Krishna. Good morning. Happy Govardhan Puja, everybody. Today in Braj is the most blissful day of the year, and also here. We have a special verse for today, and hopefully a katha that will bring a smile to your face. It's a very beautiful pastime. This verse is from the 25th chapter of the 10th canto, text 13, and it's sort of the crescendo peak point of the Leela, just as Indra's bringing his terror and wrath and destruction into all the residents of Vrindavan. This is what they do. They turn to Krishna and they chant this prayer. So we'll do this also and call a response. Can we go back one verse? I think we got lost. Ten 25, 13. Here we go, yeah. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga.
Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga.
Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga. Dvanatam Gokulam Prabho. Dvanatam Gokulam Prabho. Jratum Arhasi Devana. Jratum Arhasi Devana. Kupitad Bhaktavatsala. One more time. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga. Dvanatam Gokulam Prabho. Dratum Arhasi Devana. Kupitad Bhaktavatsala. I think for time's sake, I'll just ask just the students to recite, if that's okay. Maybe the girls first.
Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga. Vannatam Gokulam Prabho.
Kupitad Bhakta Vatsala.
Boys. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga. Dvanatam Gokulam Prabho. Dratum Arhasi Devana. Kupitad Bhakta Vatsala.
Word for word.
Krishna Krishna.
O Krishna Krishna.
O Krishna,
Krishna.
Mahabhaga.
Mahabhaga.
O all fortunate one. Tvat Natham, whose master is yourself. Gokulam, the community of cows. Prabho, O Lord. Tratum, Arhasi, kindly protect. Devat, from the demigod Indra. Na, us. Kupitat, who is angry. Bhaktavatsala, O you who are very affectionate to your devotees. The coward men and women address the Lord. Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. Purport. At the time of Lord Krishna's birth, Gargamuni had predicted, Anena sarva durgani yuyam agyastaryasyata. By his grace, you will easily cross beyond all difficulties. The residents of Vrindavan were confident that in such a great emergency, Lord Sri Narayan would empower Krishna to protect them. They accepted Krishna as everything, and Krishna reciprocated their love. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshulu Miritam Jaina Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavari Vasyatyade Shudarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patita Nama Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. I'd like to begin by requesting the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. Giriraj is the most merciful, and there's so many Vaishnavas here who hold Giriraj so dear to their heart. So with your blessings, may I try to speak on the glories of Sri Giriraj. This festival of Govardhan is so, Govardhan Puja is so unique, actually. It's actually the one festival that we celebrate in the year that was begun by Krishna. It was, so to say, made up by Krishna. Every other festival, whether it's a Vishnu Tattva appearance day, an Acharya's appearance day or disappearance day, or different festivals like these, we are given the instructions how to celebrate such an occasion by our Acharyas. In the Padma Purana, Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's certain statements that say how to celebrate such days. Often such days have an element of austerity. There's an element of fasting. Govardhan Puja was created by Krishna. He inaugurated the first Govardhan Puja and the first Govardhan Parikram, and there's no fasting. Today is a day of pure joy and bliss and shelter. It's a day that Krishna taught the Brajavasis, and therefore everyone, especially those who keep Vrindavan close to them and seek Vrindavan as their eternal home, that this is the method to come to me. It's only through worshiping me and through worshiping my devotees and through worshiping the cows. And so in this Leela, there's two very clear aspects that are happening and lessons that are being shown. One is this shelter, the shelter of Giriraj, this protection of Giriraj to his devotees, the shelter of Krishna ultimately. And the other is pride. And they couldn't be more evident than in this story. And it's so beautifully shown. And so what we see here in this verse is evidence of shelter, is teaching us what it looks like to apply Krishna's teaching of abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender unto me, do not fear. This is shown perfectly, perfectly by the Brajavasis. They abandon any variety of religious practices to any devatas, any ritualistic practices. They drop it, they listen to Krishna, they trust him, they take full shelter of him when all calamities come. And they don't have any fear. They have the greatest 1 week under the hill. For so many Brajavasis, they see Krishna at a certain point of the day. He leaves in the morning, and the parents are torn in separation until he comes back in the evening, like this. They see him for certain parts of the day. They look forward to that. But this 7 days, every resident of Vrindavan had the opportunity to have darshan interaction with Krishna 24/7 for 7 whole days. It was the most ecstatic time. And there was no fear because they took shelter. So I want to give a little katha and come to the point of this verse and give the history, the story, and the lessons and the beautiful katha and narration that Sukadev Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj in Bhagavatam up until this point, as best as I can in the time we have. But I wanted to start with a little folk story. This is a story that I heard from a Govardhan retreat, and it's a little folk story from India. And there was once a king, and he was a temperamental king, and he had one question. And his question was, what is God's constant work? So he went to his minister and he asked, tell me, what is God's constant work? And the minister thought about it. He goes, well, you know, my dear king, for this kind of question, we have priests. So let's ask our priests. And so they went to the head priest. And the king says, my dear sir, I have a question. What is God's constant work? And he said, okay, give me 1 week. I'll consult the books and I'll see if I can find an answer. So 1 week passed. He searched all of his literature. He couldn't find this answer. He thought, is it creation? But no, this is a little bit, you know, he creates indirectly. It's not constant. And so the priest could not find an answer, and he became very worried. He goes, I know this temperamental king. If I'm the head priest, cannot give an answer to his question, certainly I'll be finished, so I'm going to leave. So he leaves the kingdom. And as he's walking out, he sees a shepherd, and the shepherd happens to be his disciple. And the shepherd says, oh, Guruji, you're leaving. Why are you leaving the kingdom? Well, you know, the king, he asked me this question. What's God's constant work? No, first he said, this king asked me a question and I couldn't answer it, so I'm going to leave. He goes, well, tell me, what's the question? And he said, what does it matter to you? If I can't answer it, you can't answer it. And I go, maybe I'll know. Just let me know, what's the question? So he said, the king asked, what's God's constant work? And the shepherd had a big smile on his face. He goes, let me handle this. I'll go to the king. I'll respond for you. So the day of, you know, judgment, so to say, came, where the king wanted his answer. And the shepherd goes on behalf of the king. And he says, dear king, I have your answer. He says, okay, then tell me. But if you're wrong, there's going to be a really bad consequence. And he said, well, first, my dear sir, there's a small problem here. You see, in tradition, those who ask the question must be sitting lower than those who are giving the answer. So me and you, we have to switch. He knew the tradition, but he was a little angry, so he got off. Okay, fine. But you better be right. You better be right. The king sat on the floor. The shepherd, he sat in the seat. He said, you see, my dear king, you're a little foolish. You don't understand that God's constant work is happening right now. God, he always takes those who are proud and puts them down, and takes those who are humble and puts them up. And the king, he had no answer. If he was right, he understood. This is correct. And this is Krishna's work. This is Krishna's lesson he wants to teach to Indra. It's so interesting because Indra is a devotee. Indra is glorified by Narad Muni as one of the recipients of the greatest mercy of Krishna. Yet how can you imagine a devotee will do this to the Supreme Lord and his closest associates? How can you imagine? So Indra had so much pride. And you have to look back to where does this come from? He lived in Amaravati. This is the greatest kingdom in the heavenly planets. Any riches you can imagine, just multiply it by 100, and this is Amaravati. Indra had anything at the will of his fingers. Anybody he wanted to see in the kingdom, any material opulence he wanted. And one thing that Indra looked forward to very much is that people depended on him. People depended on him for rain, and they needed rain for their land, for their crops, for their grass, for their cows. And out of all the Indra pujas that happened, he was very attached to this specific one in Vrindavan. He was very attached to what happened in Braj, the small little village. And it said he was attached to it because he really, really liked the milk sweets of the Brajavasis. It's true. Braj is known for their famous milk sweets. Nanda Maharaj has 900,000 cows that give the sweetest milk. And so he really looked forward to this. You know, it's like he's rubbing his hands together. Okay, Indra Puja is coming. I'm going to get my milk sweets. And meanwhile, in Vrindavan, Krishna, he's surveying the scene. And he already knows what's going on, but he wants to instigate. Krishna loves to instigate and, you know, kindle the fire, so to say. So he saw his father and he said, what's going on? What's this great endeavor? What's the point of all this? You know, surely, I assume that you're not just doing this for a ritual, right, Father? This must be some actual philosophical reason. You know, don't keep secrets from me. I'm your son. You can tell me. So Nanda Maharaj responds. He goes, oh, son, you know, this is our work. We're Vaishyas. We're cow herders. We take care of the cows. This is our dharma. This is our work. This is what we do. And not only that, this is what we've done for generations. And if there's no rain, there's no grass for the cows. If the cows don't have grass, they can't give milk, they go hungry. It's a whole problem. So really, what we need is rain. This is the most important thing. And who do we get rain from? Obviously the rain god. So Krishna has this, he sees where Nanda Maharaj is coming from, and he argues from this point of view. It's so brilliant. Krishna easily could have said, you know, aham sarvasya prabhava, I am the source of everything, Father. So everything from Indra comes from me. Just worship me. But he can't do this because this ruins the rasa. Last time I gave class, we spoke about rasa, relationship, or flavors of relationships. It's this unspoken rule in Braj. Every time it comes up, Yogamaya comes and she covers it again, that Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's just your darling son, your lover, your friend. And Krishna loves these sweet exchanges. So he has to figure out a way to argue with Nanda Maharaj and convince him. So he uses what's known as karma mimamsa philosophy, which is basically an almost atheistic way of arguing based off logic and using karma as his main argument. So he says, oh, we're going to talk about work. And then what's the point of Indra? We should think about what are the factors of our work, the cows, the land, Govardhan Hill. You know, if one thing is actually sustaining our life, but we take shelter of something else, how can we achieve any real benefit? This is from the Bhagavatam. He goes, the real heroes, it's those who have been with us all along. And every good that comes from us is due to our karma of our good work. So let's worship those who are actually related to this work. And he gives one amazing argument. He goes, even if there is some God, even if there is some supreme controller who awards all kinds of results, anyways, he's not just going to reward results to us without us doing our part first, right? So why don't we just focus on what we do? And Prabhupada gives such a nice analogy. He says, you know, even if you have a, you know, a state exam, maybe you guys have an exam at the end of the year that you have to pass in order to, when I was in school, we had the FCAT. I don't know if that's still around, but absolutely hated the FCAT. But I remember a certain grade, you needed to pass the FCAT to move from third to fourth grade. And if you didn't, you flunked the grade. So even if you have some state examination, what's the use of flattering the examiner? What's the use of going to your teacher and trying to be all buddy-buddy? At the end of the day, you have to take the exam. You have to pass the exam. So it's dependent on your work. You know, if you owe taxes, you don't call the IRS and try to be all friendly on the phone. At the end of the day, you have to pay your taxes. So this is Krishna's argument. And he argues with Nanda Maharaj in this way. And Nanda Maharaj says, okay, fine, but what if he gets angry? What if Indra gets angry? He says, don't worry. Do you trust me? I'll take care of everything. You know, Govardhan will protect you. And so Krishna stated this as his opinion. And the Brajabasis had so much faith in Krishna. They had so much trust in him. They said, okay, whatever you say, we'll listen to you. But you lead us. You tell us how to worship Govardhan Hill. And so he gives the process for worshiping Govardhan Hill. And this is so nice to hear, because today we will follow this process. On Sunday, we'll follow it even in a more grander way. At first, he says we have to invoke some auspiciousness. We have to chant some auspicious mantras. Anything we set out to do, there has to be some auspiciousness. So we've done that. We've said our prayers to Giriraj. We've said our prayers to Guru. And then he says all the paraphernalia, everything that was meant for Indra, must be meant for Giriraj. So we do everything for Giriraj, and all the foodstuffs you offer him, you feed the brahmanas, and then you feed the dogs, you feed the dog eaters, everybody who's you would not even consider even of a social class, everyone is taken care of, because Giriraj takes care of everybody. And then we feed the cows. And lastly, we take the cows, the calves, the bulls, we put them in the front, we do a big parikrama around Giriraj. And all the Brajabasis were so excited. They said, Jai, Jai, Jai. And they followed this. And Krishna made this point very strongly that, no, Giriraj is the real Devata. Giriraj is our real worshipable deity. We don't go to any... He thought, this is Vrindavan. This is the place of unalloyed devotional service. How can my people be worshipping anybody else besides me? So he established Giriraj as the worshipable main deity of Vrindavan. And I think this is very important, because anyone who has any affinity towards Vrindavan or is interested, like I said earlier, in Vrindavan being our final destination, we have to think, what are those in Vrindavan doing? Who are they worshipping? So Govardhan Puja is so important for that reason. We start to realize that if we are interested in all at all understanding who is Krishna, we have to understand who is Giriraj. Because this is what Krishna wanted for his closest associates to know. If you want to follow me, if you want to listen to me, if you want to see what I have to say and follow my instructions, then I point you towards Giriraj. And so then is the famous Anakut ceremony, the big offering to Govardhan Hill. We have so many wonderful sweets here, and you'll see an even bigger hill on Sunday. And it's at this point, Krishna then manifested himself as the personification of Giriraj. He said, Shailosmi, I am this Hill. I am Giriraj Hill, Giriraj Govardhan. And with his outstretched arms, he grabbed all the offerings. He ate all the offerings. It said that with shorter arms, he grabbed offerings nearby, and even those that could not make it, his outstretched arms went further down and grabbed those offerings. There's a small story of one lady from one Brajabasi from Nandagaon. She was so old, and she heard the message that Krishna is calling all of us. Krishna is calling all of us. Please come to Govardhan and worship Govardhan Hill. And so she could not make it in time. So she thought, I'll do it from my home. And she was cooking in her home, and then Giriraj's arm came through the window and took her offering and ate it like this. And even the mystic yogis who were meditating, in their mind, they thought, I'll cook something for Giriraj and offer. And in their mind, they saw Giriraj's arm come and take the offering. And this is Giriraj. Everything that's offered, far and wide, he accepts it. And so like this, Govardhan Puja was so ecstatic. This is the shelter aspect. This is the joy aspect. But amongst the group, there were spies. They were secret agents. Yeah, these spies were of Indra's camp, because Indra was getting worried. Where are my milk sweets, right? Where is my burfi? And so these spies, they came back. They came back to Indra. Indra was so curious. You know, he was thinking, what's going on? So he asked them, okay, so give me a report. He goes, well, dear Lord, the puja, it was on time. He thought, okay, good, good, it was on time. In fact, it wasn't just on time, it was millions of times bigger than ever before. And he's rubbing his hands together, oh, great, 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 million times bigger. And he goes, there was chanting, they were dancing, they were so happy. Okay, tell me more, and they got really scared because they didn't know how to break the news. And they said, well, there's one problem. The puja wasn't directed to you. And there was silence. He thought, well, then who was it directed to? My dear Lord, a rock. What? A rock? A rock? Who ordered this? Who said to do this? And they were so scared. Oh, my dear Lord, it was a small boy. A small boy? Yes, his name is Krishna. He goes, oh, this Krishna. Now think about this just for a second before I go on. This is Indra. You would think he's a devotee. How can he not recognize Krishna? Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture on Govardhan Puja in 1966. It's in the early days, and it was so sweet. He starts off with this point. He says, how come he didn't recognize Krishna? And he says, actually, many didn't recognize Krishna. He says you can count on your fingers, 100, maybe 200. He goes, you know, there was the Pandavas, Krishna's close associates, but many could not believe, they were bewildered. They could not believe that actually the supreme great Narayan is the small boy. They couldn't understand that Krishna is the origin of all incarnations. He's the source of everything. This small boy Krishna, they couldn't actually recognize him. Indra couldn't, Brahma couldn't. So Krishna remains hidden to those who don't see him with the eyes of devotion, that don't see him with the eyes of love. So at this point, Indra was just so furious. He was so angry. And the spies said, they claim that Govardhan is a better devata than you, that he's a better deity than you, that he nourishes the cows and the grass and the land and everybody better than you can. This is what they're saying about you. I said, they said it, not me. Don't get on my case. And so Indra became so furious. He became so angry. And he starts to react. And this is really what shows the pride. Yes, there is the attachment. The attachment is the material attachment, the attachment to recognition and honor. This is the source of the pride. But now we start to see that he's really become uncontrollable. So he starts to blaspheme the residents of Vrindavan. He goes, look at these gopas. They're nomads. They're just wandering the forest. What do they have? He goes, the extent of their pride is inconceivable to me. I mean, this is the irony. The extent of their pride is inconceivable to me. Their arrogance. Look at them. They have so little, but they're so proud of what they have. But look at us. We have so much, but we're not proud. But they're so proud. And like this, he kept talking, and it's so interesting. Indra said that he has 1,000 eyes. Do you know this? He has 1,000 eyes. Can you try to think of where you would fit 1,000 eyes? It's a backstory to it. But anyways, Indra's 1,000 eyes could not see what was so clear to every single person in the room. Everybody could see. He's totally lost his mind. Or the British say it, he lost the plot. He totally lost his mind. But he couldn't see it, even with his thousands of eyes. He was blinded by pride. It's so intoxicating. It's more intoxicating than any intoxicant in this world, is pride. And when you're addicted to it, it will blind you entirely, to the point that a devotee will not even be able to recognize Krishna. A devotee will blaspheme Krishna's devotees. And he continues. He continues to blaspheme Krishna himself. You can't imagine. He's so afflicted by pride. He calls Krishna names in Sanskrit, so it's not like our kind of profanity, but he says he's vachalam, he's talkative, he's balisam, he's childish, he's stubdum, sounds like stubborn, right? He's arrogant, stubborn, right? He's agyam, no knowledge, he's ignorant. He says he thinks he's so wise, he thinks he's so smart. Can you imagine saying this about your Krishna, your Lord? Can you imagine you're sitting in front of the deities and this is what goes through your mind? But this is what happens even to a devotee when there's pride. And then he even says he's martyam, he's mortal. This is how much you can't recognize Krishna, how blinded he is. And so he calls Samvartaka clouds. Anyone know what Samvartaka clouds, what they do? Any guesses? Yeah? They destroy at the end of the creation. They destroy at the end of the creation. This means he was out to kill the Brajvasis, right? I mean, how can you? And Krishna. And so for time's sake, I won't go through the whole conversation, but he goes back and forth, and they even have the same reaction, but why are you calling us now? We have another, 432,000 years to go. And so, he gets so angry. And one devotee commented on this pastime and said that Indra's anger was so absurd to someone else. It looks like as if a lion is trying to attack a mosquito. Can you imagine this? A lion roaring and jumping after a mosquito. That's what it was like. They're saying, why are you so upset? The small village didn't give you an offering. The whole universe is worshiping you today, but you're worried about them. So again and again and again, this is just the pride is shown. This is what happens, and it's shown to this extreme, evident level that you just can't get it out of your mind. It's so absurd. I can't think of another word. It's unbelievable. And so this is what happens. They bring the clouds. Indra says, go down, I'll come with you on my elephant. I want to see what's going to happen. I want to see this happen. And so it became so dark, it was pitch black, that Brajabasis couldn't see anything. They were lost. They were hiding. They were keeping their cows covered. They were trying to find some shelter. And at this point, this is where we see this verse, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhago. At this point, they turned to Krishna. And this is so important, because they trusted Krishna from the beginning. Okay, for so many years we've worshipped Indra. This one time we're going to listen to Krishna. And it looks like it backfired, right? It looks like it backfired really bad, to the point they think everything is going to be lost. If this was me, I would think, okay, Krishna, we tried, it didn't work out. Let me go back, let me fix the situation, handle Indra, then Krishna maybe will go back and see how we can, maybe do a bit of both pujas next year. But no, they didn't think this way. They thought Krishna showed us Giriraj is real, he reciprocates, so Krishna will help us. Just like Garga Muni gave this prediction when the Lord was born, that he will be your shelter. He will take care of you. They remembered this, and they went back to Krishna for shelter. And this is the important lesson for the devotees, that yes, where do we go when things get hard? Maybe we trust Krishna, and we feel like our trust has been broken. Do we go back to him, or do we go back to whatever we think will take care of us? Because whatever we think that would take care of us, has it really been taking care of us for so long, if we're still in this material world? We tried the same thing again and again and again, and it hasn't worked, but we keep going back to it. And so I want to conclude on this point here, that where we take shelter is so important, and Giriraj is the deity of shelter. He is our shelter. He is Krishna himself. He's also the greatest of devotees, and therefore the greatest of devotees help the other devotees come close to Krishna. In this way, he's so merciful that we can approach him as Krishna himself and take shelter of Krishna by worshiping Giriraj. But as a devotee, as the greatest of devotees, he will help remove your obstacles to come closer to Krishna. And he will take care of you in any calamity you have. And the ironic thing about all of this is that who was actually afraid here? Who? Indra, right? Indra was actually afraid. Over what? Not receiving milk sweets. He was actually afraid. But the Brajabasis were losing their homes. Everything was coming flooded. They were worried about their cows. It's so sweet in this verse. It says, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhago, please protect our cows and then also save us. That's the mood. Please protect our cows and then also save us. They were so fearless. And then they were so happy being taken care of Krishna under this hill. And then here's Indra, who's so worried that 7 days are going. What's happening? Maybe I've committed an aparad. Oh no, what have I done? Because he had no shelter. He took shelter in his own intelligence. And see where that took him. So I'll conclude with this one point. There's a statement by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur regarding Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad. That living entity is somewhere between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj. Demoniac tendency, demoniac qualities, and divine qualities. And when we look at Govardhan Puja and the Leela, it may hit home a little closer because we're not looking at a demon and a devotee. We're looking at the pure devotees and the materially afflicted devotee in Indra, at least at this point in time. And so we're looking at two devotees, and we have to see that there's probably times where we have tendencies of the Brajabasis and we can feel like we're taking shelter of Krishna. Certainly, I can say everyone in this room has probably had some feeling in their life where they felt close to Krishna at some point, or that they wanted to take shelter. But we wouldn't be here if we didn't have pride. We wouldn't be here if there wasn't an element of Indra's mentality and arrogance and pride in our own heart. And this is where we can look at this Leela and we can see, today do I make a step in the direction of the Brajabasis? Is this where I want to go? Or today do I ignore that and I take a step in the direction of what Indra did and felt? It's a day that we can purify the pride in our own heart. That's Govardhan Puja. That's one lesson we can pull from it. And we can make this conscious effort to worship Giriraj. And we can start to understand, where is shelter? Where is shelter? And have I taken shelter of Giriraj? And Giriraj is so merciful that he's available to all of us to go visit him here, but also in his grand majesty is, you know, Giriraj Govardhan, the mountain, and express ourselves to him, talk to him, and know that he's there to reciprocate. Krishna showed he reciprocates. He showed in a very evident way. He became the personification of the mountain, and he reciprocated by taking his hand and grabbing the offerings. Whatever we offer, he takes in such an evident way. Indra didn't do this. That shows that approaching anyone else besides Krishna, there's not going to be real reciprocation, actually. I'll end with this one quote. This is from Kadambakananda Maharaj, and this was spoken on his last Govardhan Puja lecture. He said, "We celebrated Govardhan Puja today, and this will inspire us for a long time to come." That's how it works. The Naimittika Kriya brings new life to the Nitya Kriya. Special occasions bring life to everyday devotional service. And so there is always a festival. It never actually ends. Jai. Shri Giriraj Maharaj Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Jai. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I think we can take questions if anyone has any. You have to raise your hand high, just because so many people. Okay, in that case, we have a question? Yeah? We have a question in the front.
Where is the light coming from?
Where's the light coming from? Which light?
Like, from all the deities.
From all the deities. You can't see from here, but there are lights. I don't know if they're inside the altar or on the top panel there. And then these small string lights, they're attached to the back. There's a plug outlet. Yeah. Okay, Jai, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.